Welcome to Empowered Radio. I am your host, Emma Montgomery, an online nutrition and fitness coach and creator of Shred With Em. Each week, we'll talk all things nutrition, training, and mindset. You'll be able to take my tips and strategies and apply what you learn to see results with both your body and your mind. So without further ado, let's jump into the episode. This episode of Empowered Radio is brought to you by Spring. Spring is a platform that I use to run all of my programs and is perfect for any coach looking to have their own fitness app. Use code EMMA250 for $250 off your own app or schedule a demo with their team at springapp.com. That's SPRNGAPP.com. What's up, guys? Welcome back. Today, we are going to talk all about macros. We're going to dive into what they are, their roles in the body, how you can set your own macros, tips for those who are new to tracking, just tons of info on macro counting today. But before we get started, I do want to share the review of the week, and it is from a fellow Eastern Kentucky gal, Sherry Dane. She said, no matter where you are in your fitness journey, this podcast is a must listen. So many great tips. So thank you, Sherry. If you will email me at macroswithm@yahoo.com, I will get you a shirt sent out. Again, thank you guys for tuning in, for sharing the podcast and leaving the amazing reviews and ratings. I appreciate you more than you know. Again, I know I've said it 1,000 times, but that is truly how I reach more listeners. So thank you for that. So let's just dive on into today's episode. Again, I mentioned we are talking all about macros, and I get so many DMs really from people that I take it for granted because I've counted macros for so long. Like, I started back in, I believe it was 2013, before they were trendy. And so I take for granted that there are so many people that still have no idea what macros are, how you count macros. So I wanted to do a podcast. I'm going to try to keep it as condensed as possible so it's not so overwhelming. But I think sometimes it's easier to take things in when you hear it versus when you're reading it. So hopefully for those of you who have been out there trying to find information on macros and you're feeling overwhelmed and reading things, hearing it might make it sink in a little better. So when we talk about what macros are, macronutrients, they simply make up the calories in the food that we eat. So it's protein, carbs, and fat. When you count macros, you have a goal for how many grams of each of those things that you're going to be eating per day. So to track them, you'll need to use, you could use pen and paper. I probably wouldn't recommend that, but there are tons of free apps out there to track your food in. I think there's like My Macros Plus. There's a ton out there, guys. The one that I'm most familiar with, because I've literally used it since I started tracking back in 2013 or so, is MyFitnessPal. It's got a really expansive database in terms of like food entries. I think it's user-friendly. Again, it's because I'm super familiar with it. So I do have a free resource that I can link in the show notes. It's a MyFitnessPal tracking guide that I've put together that it goes through everything from entering your goals into MyFitnessPal to weighing and measuring food, creating recipes, things like that, tracking alcohol. So I'll link that in the show notes for those of you who need that. Again, it's a free resource that I can hook you guys up with. So anyhow, when you are counting macros, you have to do things like weigh and measure your food. So you'll need a food scale and reading nutrition labels, things like that, because you are literally going to be accounting for everything that you put in your mouth that has calories. So if you're drinking water, again, you're not going to need to track that. I don't recommend tracking things like chewing gum unless you're chewing an ungodly amount of gum. I think a stick has like 5 calories for most of it. I think at some point it gets obsessive. So again, really the point with tracking macros is to make you aware of where your calories are coming from and food choices. So again, you will need to have an app where you log your food. You're going to need to weigh and measure your food so that you're tracking with accuracy, and you have a goal for protein, carbs, and fat, and overall calories for the day. So that is what macros are, how you track them. Now, each macro itself has a specific role of importance in the body. So just to touch on, so you guys understand like why we track these. So protein, hands down, in my opinion, is the most important, especially when we're talking about fat loss. So it is important for building muscle, maintaining muscle. It helps repair tissue from resistance training. And protein is worth 4 calories per gram. Next up are carbs. Carbs are the body's primary energy source. They're needed for energy supply for your brain. They are worth 4 calories per gram as well. And then lastly is fat. And I should have mentioned that protein and fat, both of those are essential nutrients. So you need those in order to live. Carbs, you can technically live without them. That's why people are able to do keto and low carb diets and remove carbs from their diet altogether. You may feel like shit, but you can technically live without them. Now, protein and fat are needed in order to live, essentially. So fat is an essential nutrient. It aids in hormone production, vitamin absorption. It's a backup energy source. So if you're somebody, again, that has eliminated carbs, your body will rely on fat for energy. And it is worth 9 calories per gram. So this is the part where people, this is the advice I give in terms of counting macros and an easier way to think of it. Because people, I think, when they hear like tracking food and 4 calories and 9 calories, and they just get overwhelmed. And it seems like one of those memes where you see the numbers like floating around somebody's head. The easiest way for me to explain it is to think of your calories and your macros like money. So you have a budget of calories and you have a budget of protein, fat, and carbs that you can spend however you would like. Now, there are certain foods that you might spend your macros on that will be more expensive in terms of they will eat up more of your macro budget, and they might not be the best bang for the buck in terms of like keeping you full. So let's just take, for example, if you wanted to eat a Pop-Tart and it's 200 calories, and I don't know the macros right off, but I would say it's probably only like 1 to 2 grams of protein. I would say roughly 30 carbs and probably like 4 to 5 grams of fat. So if your carb goal for the day, we'll just say is 150, you're going to be using 30 grams of your carbs on the Pop-Tart, and it's going to leave you 120 left for the rest of the day. Now, again, this is why you use the food tracking app and not pen and paper, because, I mean, let's be real, that would just be a headache to try to keep track of on paper. So again, when you're tracking in a food app, you've got your goal set in there, and it's going to deduct the food from the goals, what you have available to spend on that food. So again, the easiest way to think of it is a budget of money, and you have macro dollars to spend on your food. Everything that you're going to eat is going to either be made up of either one or all three, a combination of them, whatever, but everything you eat is going to take away from your macro dollars. So that is the easiest way that I can explain it, is to just compare it to money. Think of having a budget of each of those to spend. So now let's just talk real quick about counting calories versus counting macros. And I know that you guys have heard this because it's everywhere. And when people say all you need to lose weight is a calorie deficit, everything's a calorie deficit. And we hear that and it's ran into the ground. And yes, you do need to be in a calorie deficit to lose weight. And you're probably sitting there saying, okay, if I just need to be in a calorie deficit where I'm taking in fewer calories or burning more calories than I'm consuming, then why do I even have to count macros, period? So the biggest difference or why we count macros versus just counting calories, or why I recommend counting macros versus just counting calories. So macro counting is essentially a more advanced way of counting calories. So it's knowing where your calories are being dispersed. It's being aware of what your calories are coming from, meaning you know out of your calories that you're eating, how much of it is protein, how much of it is fat, and how much is carbs, fiber, those things. So yes, calories are king when it comes to weight loss. And I say weight loss because that can literally mean anything with mass. That can be water, that can be muscle, that could be tissue, that could be fat. Now, when we're looking at fat loss, this is where counting macros is super important, because when you're counting macros and you're aware of where your calories are coming from, you can focus on getting an adequate amount of protein in, because we mentioned earlier that protein is super important and it is the building block of muscle. It helps sustain muscle when we're dieting. So when you're targeting fat loss, that you want to hold on to the muscle that you have and lose fat and water versus muscle, tissue, and fat and water. So that's the biggest difference in counting calories versus counting macros, is knowing that when you're counting macros, again, you can focus on getting adequate protein in and make sure that you are targeting fat loss versus just weight loss. Okay. So, I know I touched on calorie deficit already, but just to, kind of break down like the cycles, I guess you would say, of nutrition while you're counting macros, and knowing like what those are and what that looks like. So a calorie deficit, cutting, dieting, you may hear it referred to as any of those things. That's simply eating below your daily maintenance calories. Your maintenance calories are, you're eating the amount of calories that you need to maintain your current weight. So when you start a diet, say you start at 150 pounds, you have a maintenance range of calories where you're maintaining 150 pounds. Say you diet for 12 weeks and you weigh 140 pounds, you now have a new maintenance range of calories that for the 140 pounds. It will be less, so it takes less calories to move a smaller body. So it's going to be less calories needed to maintain 140 pounds versus what you needed to maintain 150 pounds. This is going back to why you see a lot of people who lose a bunch of weight, and if they revert back to their old habits or eating exactly how they did before they dieted, it's typically because they went back to eating at the amount of food they were eating prior to losing weight. And so that amount is now a surplus for that person, and that's why they typically gain the weight back. And then calorie surplus, also people call it bulking. That's eating above your daily maintenance calories. So again, if you're somebody who you go back to, you know, the calories that you ate at prior to dieting, you're now eating in a surplus. You have people that will also strategically plan a surplus throughout their year so that they can add muscle tissue. So it's not a bad thing to be in a surplus if it's planned. Obviously, there is fat gain that will come with it, but you might see people go through dieting phases where they are at maintenance and then they plan a bulk or a calorie surplus to add muscle. Then they might cut immediately after. Then they go to maintenance again, and they might stay at maintenance for, you know, I recommend staying at maintenance for as long as you dieted. But again, you should spend the majority of your year at maintenance, just not in a deficit. So those are the phases, if you will, of, you know, counting macros. So now I want to talk about tips for, and this is going to be especially helpful for new people to counting macros. So, the first thing I would say is, because it can be overwhelming to focus on each individual number, is to focus on protein and overall calories versus each single macro. So what I mean is, if your calorie goal for being in a calorie deficit was 1600 calories and your protein goal is 120, focus on getting your 120 grams of protein in and not going over your 1600 calories, and let carbs and fat just fall where they fall. Some people get so consumed in the macro Tetris of like, you know, plugging in food, and they're like, oh crap, that's going to put me over carbs by 10 grams and I'm going to be short on fat. And then they're trying to move too many things around and it gets overwhelming and very time consuming. And that's why a lot of people will say it's too hard or they want to quit. So I suggest focusing on protein, making sure that that's the first box that you're checking and not going over your calorie goal. So calories and protein, and letting carbs and fat have leeway to fall where they fall. Again, if you are somebody that's working towards fat loss, you're going to see fat loss with this because you are in a calorie deficit and you're focusing on protein. So the ratio of carbs and fat are not going to be nearly as important. There is a caveat to that, unless you are someone who, like a female with PCOS, or maybe you're an athlete where you would need higher carbs. But like if you're a female with PCOS or diabetic or someone who needs lower carb, then obviously you would want to watch that. But if you are someone with no underlying health issues and you're working towards fat loss, then I would say focusing on protein and overall calories is the first overall number one tip that I would give when you're starting counting macros. Next up would be to work in ranges rather than absolutes. So you're rarely going to hit each macro perfectly, and I would 100% not strive for that. Again, it can become obsessive. It can be very time consuming. So if you're working in ranges, if you're, again, your protein goal is 120 grams, that range might be anywhere from, 110 to 120, or it may go 120 to 130, again, not going over your goal for calories for the day, but just give yourself some leeway of a certain amount under or over that goal so that you aren't saying, I didn't hit 120 grams today. I only hit 110. I'm a failure. That's close enough. So again, giving yourself a little bit of leeway, unless you're a competitor or some top performing athlete, something that is just where everything has to be, on the dot, precise, perfect. Again, you're still going to see amazing results like this. It's not going to make or break your progress. So work in those ranges rather than the absolutes. Next up, I would say, and I always call this eyes on your own paper, but it's don't worry about what other people are eating, how many macros they're working with. Remember that it's all relative. So what is considered macro friendly to one person? Maybe they're eating 300 grams of carbs, so their breakfast that they're saying is macro friendly that has 100 grams of carbs in it might not be macro friendly to you if your macro goal for carbs is only 150 grams. So don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Remember that it is all relative. There are people, macros are going to be different for everybody. Calorie ranges are going to be different for everybody. Again, based on your age, your height, your weight, your activity level, your food preference, your past dieting history, what you do in terms of if you're an athlete or not. So there's so many things that factor into this. And I have people that ask me all the time, how many calories do you eat a day? How much cardio do you do? How many carbs do you eat? What do you eat for your pre and post workout? And I don't care to share those things, but you have to understand what works for me is probably not going to work for you as well. So just keep that in mind. Keep your eyes on your own paper and stay in your own lane and worry about what you're doing versus comparing what you're doing to what everybody else is doing. Because just because somebody is doing it one way does not make that the right way or the only way. So again, that one is really, really important. Again, I don't care to share what I eat, how much I eat. It is no secret that I love carbs and I eat over 2,000 calories a day. And I've mentioned that a million times. But at the same time, what I do and what I eat may not work for you or the phase that you're in. So just keep that in mind when you're, working on your own journey. Make sure to keep your eyes on your own paper. Next, I would say to focus on whole food nutrition the majority of the time. I practice the 80-20 rule. That's what I teach to clients as well. The majority of the food I eat is nutrient dense. It makes me feel good. It gives me good energy. I don't feel like I need a nap after I eat. But I do always allow for little treats. So I love sweets. I have a dessert pretty much after every meal. So I always have a dessert after dinner. A lot of times after lunch, I like to have something sweet too. So I plan for those things in my day first, because those are kind of non-negotiables for me. That's the one thing I really enjoy. So, but again, the majority of the food I eat is, you know, good, clean, whole foods, something that either had a face at one point or grew from the earth, I think is the easiest way to look at that. So those also, not only are they more satiating, they cause less digestive stress and issues, and they are far more accurate when you're tracking those foods versus prepackaged, boxed things. You know, food labels, I believe, can round up to 20%, which can be detrimental when you're dieting. So just being, you know, cognizant of those things when you're tracking and trying to get the majority of your food for the day from, like I said, things that either had a face at one point or grew from the earth. And the last thing I will say on the tips for counting macros is, remember, everything is hard until you do it. You were not born into this world knowing how to walk or talk. Hell, even parallel park. That is hard. I still can barely parallel park. But it's one of those things that I suck at it because I don't do it that often. So when you first start counting macros, as with anything, it's going to be challenging because you've never done it before. Practice makes perfect. Again, it doesn't have to be perfect, but getting your reps in, if you're just starting and you're trying to figure out like an easy way, there is no easy way. You just have to do it. So track your food, track everything you eat, and just know that it gets easier as you do it. I personally pre-log my food the day before instead of eating in the moment. So I will go through, like for tomorrow, I'll go in and plug in what I know I'm going to eat and, you know, log those ahead of time. And you can start with, you know, your three main meals. If you're, you know, a breakfast, lunch, dinner person, plug those in and then use the remaining macros that you have to either plug in a couple snacks or make serving sizes bigger in each meal to fill that gap. But just again, know that everything is hard until it isn't. So you've got to get the practice and get the reps in so that it becomes easy and becomes second nature. And you can, you know, be like me where you forget that how hard it was when you first started. You guys, when I first started counting macros, when my coach would make an adjustment to my macros, she would just tell me what the macros were and not like what the calories it totaled up to. I had no idea that it changed my calorie goal. So I'm like, again, you don't know what you don't know. And I just tell people all the time, there's no stupid questions. And, you know, it's one of those, until you actually do it, you're not going to know. So everybody starts somewhere. I was once clueless when it came to macros too. Now I feel like, you know, kind of a whiz kid when it comes to macros. So get the practice in, get your reps in. It gets easier, I promise. Lastly, we're going to talk really quick about setting your macros. I'm not going to get super deep on this just because I want everybody to understand you just need a good starting point, and where the magic really happens is going to be with your consistency and the adjustments that you make as you go. So the first thing that you need to do when you are setting your macros is start with setting calories. Now, what I'm going to recommend here, I know a lot of people are not going to do because we're impatient and we want everything yesterday and we want to just get started, like I said, yesterday. So what I recommend, though, is to start with tracking your food for several days, at least 3 or 4 days, and include a weekend day in there so you get a real true average of how you eat, how many calories you consume, and you can see where you typically disperse in terms of protein, fat, and carbs, and fiber. Now, if when you do this, say you've been maintaining your weight for the last couple of months, don't change how you eat because you know that you're tracking your food and you're trying to be good. Log how you typically eat. If you eat at McDonald's for lunch during work, log that. Don't change that and pack your, you know, lunch for that day because you know you're tracking it. This will give you an actual, you know, depiction of how you've been eating so that you know where your maintenance calories are. So again, if you've been maintaining weight for the last couple of months, track your food for 3 or 4 days, include a weekend day in there, get the average, and you will know roughly where your maintenance calories are. Now, if you are somebody who is, nope, I'm not doing this, I don't feel like tracking my food, I just want to know where my maintenance calories are, you can get online and go to like a total daily energy expenditure calculator. I believe there's like a TDEE.net or something like that. If I can find it, I'll link it in the show notes for you guys. But it just gives you a rough estimate of where what your BMR is, so your basal metabolic rate. This is the amount of calories needed to just keep the lights on. So the amount of calories that you burn, literally just waking up and being alive. So normal bodily functions, not moving, exercising, just what is what your body burns in terms of just existing. So it takes your BMR, and then it also will have you factor in, it'll ask like how active you are. So if you're sedentary, if you're moderately, God, why is it hard to say? Active, very active. So it'll include that, and it will give you what your total daily energy expenditure is. So how many calories you burn being alive plus any activity calories added together, that'll give you roughly your maintenance calories of how many calories you, you know, need in a day to maintain your weight. So the your activity there basically is what that's looking at. So anyhow, if you either track your food to get those maintenance calories or you use one of those calculators, either is fine. Again, it's just a good starting point. From there, we are going to determine whether we are wanting to stay at maintenance, so maintain your weight. If you're wanting to maintain your weight, then you're going to continue to eat at that calorie range. If you are someone who wants to gain weight or try to build muscle, then you are going to add to those calories so that you can be in a calorie surplus. So anything over that calorie amount is going to be a surplus. And if you are someone, which I'm assuming is the majority of people out there, because I feel like everyone's always dieting and trying to lose weight, you're going to be in a calorie deficit, and that's where you are going to reduce those calories. So we're going to give the example of a calorie deficit because I feel like this is most people. So if we are looking to be in a deficit, you know, looking at our maintenance calories, I would recommend starting with a 10 to 20% reduction from those calories. 20% is obviously going to be the most aggressive. So you might want to start with like 10 or 15% and just know that you have wiggle room to cut from those calories as you go. The biggest mistake people make is, I don't even know if they look at their maintenance calories. A lot of people don't even understand that maintenance is a thing and that you can actually be at maintenance rather than dieting all the time. So if somebody's maintenance calories are 2000 and they're starting a diet, they're like, yep, I'm going to start 1200 calories tomorrow and that's my diet. That is way too aggressive. It's not sustainable, and you have nowhere to move down when you need to reduce calories. So keep that in mind. Do not start too aggressive off the bat. Again, anywhere from 10 to 20%. If we were 2000 calories, again, was the maintenance range, and you were going to take a 20% pull, that's going to be 400 calories. So you might be starting in an aggressive deficit at 1600 calories. The next thing you're going to do is you are going to set your protein goal. And this is going to be anywhere from 0.8 to 1.2 grams per pound of body weight. So, you know, a good rule of thumb would be 1 gram per pound of body weight. But keep in mind, if you are somebody who you just tracked your food for the last few days and you see that you average 70 grams of protein and you weigh 130 pounds, the likelihood of you going from eating 70 grams to 130 grams overnight is not good. So yes, there is an optimal range of where you want your protein to be, and it might be that 130 grams. But there is also going to be the more practical, which the 0.8, say it ends up being 100 grams of protein. That's going to be far more practical, and the likelihood of you hitting that and being able to sustain that is far greater. So I would start on the lower end, especially if you notice that that is an area of opportunity. So again, protein, set that first anywhere from 0.8 to 1.2 grams per pound of body weight. And remember to focus on what is going to be practical for you, and know that you can always increase that as you go. The next thing that you're going to set is fat, because it is an essential nutrient. So I recommend just keeping it basic here, anywhere from 20 to 30% of your calories. And depending on preference, you might want it slightly higher, but I would say to keep it in a good hormonal range, do not go under 20%. I prefer lower fat and higher carbs, just because that's just the food, you know, choices that I like. But again, knowing that I need to keep it in a certain range so that my hormone health is good is obviously something I keep in mind. So 20 to 30% of overall calories will go to fat. And then the remainder of your calories, you're just going to fill with carbs. Now, like I said, remember, there is no magic set of macros. This is simply a starting point to get you started. But the magic is going to be in the adjustments as you go. So it does require you being consistent, having good adherence. That way you can see what's working and what is not. Because without those two things, there, and I've said this before, there is no macro adjustment that is going to make up for lack of consistency. If you are all over the place with your numbers and then you try to just, you know, cut them down to 1200 because you're overeating them, that makes no sense. Why would you reduce your calories if you can't adhere to where you're at? So adherence and consistency is going to be the biggest thing. So just keep that in mind as you get started. So I know that's a lot, and we have hit the 30-minute mark, so I'm going to try to wrap it up here. But I will link, like I said, in the show notes, the MyFitnessPal tracking guide that I put together. It's a free resource. I'll put a TDEE calculator in the show notes as well for you guys that want to try to figure out your macros. And I'm also going to link the Empowered 30 challenge group, so my monthly membership group, in the show notes as well. We've been having, we just started last week with our Empowered 30 challenge, and it's something you can join in anytime with the membership and fall right into the challenge. We do weekly challenges and prizes and things to keep it fun and just have accountability and some structure during this time of year where most people struggle. So we're just, with the challenge, it's just focusing on tracking your food daily and getting daily movement in. So I'll link that in the show notes for you guys as well. But that is it. That is all I have for you. I hope this one is helpful and not super overwhelming. But again, thank you guys for taking 30 minutes out of your day to listen to the podcast. I appreciate when you share it, and I will talk to you next week. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Empowered Radio. If you enjoyed the episode or found value in it, could you do me two quick favors? One, take a screenshot and post it to your social media and tag me in it so I can say thanks. And two, could you subscribe to the podcast and leave a 5-star rating and review in iTunes? It would mean the world to me. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode.